Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live from the ATL Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6.03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.03 p.m. on the West Coast, and today is Saturday, the 25th of 2021. And it's going into October. Here comes the holiday season! Yes, here comes Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Yes, it's the spending time of year. Santa Claus is out there with his short pants and sandals on, getting ready. It's that time of year, y'all. Get ready to spend that money. Welcome again. I'm your host, Michael Gay, and thank you for joining us on this Saturday. And today we're going to talk about some things which kind of like layover from last week's show. When I look at some of these First Amendment auditors, I don't know if you guys are aware of these guys that are all over the country. There are guys who actually travel from state to state, city to city, county to county, you name it, and they test the police on their knowledge of the First Amendment, what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of videos. Now, granted, there are some individuals that do these audits that are total assholes. I have to admit, they're total assholes. They're really trying to get paid. And you think about it, a lot of these guys get paid. You know, they sue. There's folks who are getting $50,000 of your taxpayers' dollars because an officer didn't know the law. And we're going to get into that. Because the question is, how does policy trump law? How does policy trump law? So I got a few folks that are going to chime in. Unfortunately, Officer Crenshaw is not going to be able to make it. He just texted me not too long ago. Not to be mean, but he has to babysit, but that's cool. You got to take care of family first, his granddaughter, so that's cool. So I appreciate him letting me know that he's not going to be able to make it. So before I open up the mics, and I'm going to open up the mics for the co-host first, and I also have a person that's here, a friend of mine I've known for many, 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 many years. I love this brother. I mean, he's still an inspiration to a lot of folks, because he was one of the first brothers I've known who opened up his own business in Pasadena, and, you know, it was just like, boom, it was the spot, all right? And that would be Mr. Ron Jones is joining us, who happens to be a park ranger, and he's going to chime in with some information, some questions, and also some knowledge of his own. Now, before I open up the mics, I want to say this. In the second hour, I want you guys to share after we go through this, but I dealt with one of the worst customer service situations I've ever had in my life. I thought I've had them all. I really thought I've had them all. But last night was probably the worst ever. I've never been transferred to 5 different people. Count them. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. 5 different people and still didn't get shit done. Still didn't get done. All right, so let me go ahead and open up the microphone. First of all, I want to open up the mic to Mr. Bernie B-Man Jones and a whole tight there. Come on, Mike, open up. Uh-oh, wait a minute. We got an issue here. Hold on. Let me get back to the board. Go to studio. And let me see. I don't know why it's acting up, but hold tight, you guys. Okay, hold on. Let me try that again. There we go. Bernie, are you there, my friend?
I am here. Hello, family. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic, fantastic. What's happening with you on this beautiful Saturday?
Honeydew. You know,
okay, well, I'm
say booty do?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about, definitely. Yeah. Well, I used to know, but now I'm like, whew.
So
but some things you got to do, right? It's not always a honeydew. I got to do.
Yeah,
got to do.
Yeah. I said I was going to take at least, you know, an hour and some time to, you know, join in and just take a break for a moment. And, you know, I'm not done yet, but I needed to take a little break. So this will be a nice little break for me.
All right. Appreciate it. And then on the West Coast, another great co-host, love this brother, coming in from California, weighing in with all the jokes and the knowledge of any champion on stage, knocked it out at the dry bar. They didn't have to get drunk to laugh. Mr. Timing Chip, what's up, Timing?
Oh, what's going on, Mike and Bernie? Hey, how y'all guys doing, man? Just finished feeding my face, so, you know, I had to do something. You know, I didn't want to be my stomach growling while I'm on there with Mike, you know. So I just got some food in me. I'm all right for a little bit. Now I just got to make sure I don't fall asleep.
Well, last week you were trying to eat before the show.
Oh, yeah, it just happens that way, especially if I get my walk on, man. You know, if I go walking and stuff.
There you go. There you go.
Replenish.
All right, so
you got to replenish.
Right. Okay, so we're going to jump into this conversation because this is really interesting. But before I do that, I have to give a shout-out to Mr. Joe Foxworth. In fact, Ron Jones, go ahead to number one, and I can open up your mic. And Joe Foxworth, we both know him. The brother was a member of the group Ozone on the Motown record label. Y'all probably remember their biggest hit, which was Struck My Thing. The opening theme to the TMGS is called Conversation Piece, and that was written and performed by Joe Foxworth, and he gave me that track for the show. I know it seemed like it's long, but I have to let it play all the way through. I love that. That's a nice groove. Really enjoy it. So thank you, Joe, very much for it. All right, so let me open up the mic to my friend, Mr. Ron Jones. Ron, what's up with my brother?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor and privilege to be on your show and talk to your co-host and learn some things and share some things.
All right. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Okay, so like I said, I'm dropping back to what we were talking about a little bit last week and going forward into this week, which I said in the opening of the show, of where there are these First Amendment auditors that go around the country and they are testing officers about the First Amendment, or better yet, you know, the Constitution. You know, they're auditing them on the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third, Fourth. You know, they'll plead the Fifth. You know, and to put it just in a nutshell, some of these guys are standing on the sidewalks, right, and they're videotaping naval bases, Air Force bases. They're broadcasting live at times, and maybe the security of those places say, "Oh no, you can't do that." Why not? This is private. How is it private? I mean, they're asking these questions and everything, and it does make you wonder, how is this private? If you got these old planes out here on display for people to look at, how is it private if I'm taking a picture, right? Yeah. And according to the Supreme Court, they said that, I think it was in 2011, that you are allowed to videotape or take a picture of anything you can see with the eye. If it's on the other side of a wall and you climb up on the wall, well, yeah, now you're breaking the law. I've seen videos of where individuals are standing on the sidewalk, and here's a police department that has a gated area, fenced-in area, and it says employees only beyond this point. And officers will roll up on these guys and be like, "You can't videotape." Yes, I can. You got a clear fence here. You know, you got a chain-link fence. As long as I don't go beyond that fence. And they have arrested people and taken them to jail. And guess what? Some of these love it. Some of these guys love it. It's like, "Oh, you know what you just did? You just stepped on my right to do so, and I'm going to sue." And there are, and you can go and Google. You can Google the lawsuits that are stacking up, and especially in some of these small towns, and they're getting $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 of taxpayers' money. Think about that.
Yeah.
So, what's you guys' thought about it? Because the whole thing is that we're, unfortunately, which I had talked to Officer Mason, I was asking him to see if he could come through. He's a retired police officer who lives here in Atlanta now. He was in Waco, Texas, and he and I had a conversation. I hope he can make it. And he said that is definitely true, that we need to learn about, you know, our rights, not the thing about what is policy. You know, you can go into a post office and you can videotape inside of a post office. You could take pictures inside of a post office, because if you go over there and you look at section something 17, it clearly states that you can. And I've seen videos where they arrest these guys. So I want to go ahead and bring in our guest first, because he's a guest caller. Ron Jones, what's your thoughts about that? And are you aware of these auditors?
Yes, I am. I worked as a park ranger in the town of Queen Creek, Arizona, and we get quite a few of the auditors come in, and I get it, you know, they want to exercise their First Amendment right to guarantee them their freedoms of religion, expression, guarantees them the freedom to of press, and I get that. Mm-hmm. And we're trained as rangers, and I work with the police officers here to pretty much. This is kind of a not a new thing, but it's a trendy thing that a lot of young people
right.
want to do now. As you spoke, some of them are doing it just so they can get a payday or see if a police mm-hmm. officer or somebody or the like does something foolish. We're trained to pretty much put on an extra coat of skin and respect people, their First Amendment rights. I know for me, and speaking for me, working in law enforcement, I always try to remind myself I'm a servant of the people. I think a lot of police officers, and we have a lot of great police officers, they need to keep reminding themselves we are servants of the people and not to go out there and take things personal all the time. Someone's filming you, and some police officers, depending on how they grew up or what experiences they've had in their own hometown or whatever, they get personal and they forget about policy within their mm-hmm. department. Where I know our policy says, hey, man, let them film. If they're not committing any crime, they're filming away. They want to film your car. They want to film you walking down the street. They want to film you inducing an arrest. I will say this to the public, you know, when a police officer is inducing an arrest, go ahead and film them, but you got to back up. You got to be out of that zone, that space, because it causes a danger to the police officer as well as mm-hmm. another citizen that might be walking by. And that's where some of these auditors get a little bit zealous in their filming. They're not respecting that part of the process when an arrest mm-hmm. is being induced. I get it. They want to be the first. Everybody today wants to be the first to film something and then edit it and only put that part of the bad part of the arrest on social media so people can only mm-hmm. see the bad part. They never get to show you the first part or the middle or the end. It's a sensitive subject. Both sides of the fence, I think police have to do a better job understanding what they're dealing with, and the public has to do a better job at coming in and chiming in on shows like yourself and engaging in conversation so we can learn together. It's really not that difficult, but we as people, God, we live in a time now where we're making it difficult just to go into a bathroom. Like, which bathroom do I go into? That's being filmed. We're making it too difficult. And
right.
I think because we live in a really highly sensitive time right now with racial problems, with problems with law enforcement, it's really sensitive. But in a nutshell, any law enforcement agent that's listening, I hope that they take that good advice and just, hey, follow your policy and the department policy. Let them film. You mentioned something about if they're filming at sensitive areas like a federal building or a federal yard where military equipment is
mm-hmm.
there. I don't know much about that. My common sense tells me I'll leave that alone because there might be some sensitive things there. I never was in the military. I'd like to hear from your host or your guest and see what they say. I would say, this is common sense for me, if I see fencing and barbed wire, even if it's open and clear, I'm going to leave it alone. And if I see a no trespassing sign, let me dive into that. If there's a no trespassing sign, that might be why some of these auditors are getting arrested, because they're filming on property where there's a sign that says no trespassing. And you really don't get arrested. You usually get a warning. But if they kind of push the envelope, then, well, now they induce something on their own where they're going to get arrested. It's probably for trespassing, not for feel me.
So, right. Okay. So I want to hold that thought for a minute because I want to come back to you with that, and I want to clarify what has been said about that whole thing. If you don't mind, just hold tight. Let me go to Bernie Jones next, and then Timon, I want you to hear everybody's response and then hear what you have to say about it. Bernie, what do you think? Or Betty, are you familiar with these auditors?
You know what? I'm not familiar with that. I mean, and you know, I didn't hear last week's show, so I would have familiarized myself with it. But it's interesting just to hear that. And these auditors, my only statement is if these auditors are doing that, they should know, like you say, the law themselves and not the policies. Like you say, it's different between the two. And I'm just going to continue to listen. Because this is interesting. It's very interesting to me. So, no, I'm not familiar with it, but I'm going to listen and see what you guys talk about. And I'll familiarize myself with it in the future just to, you know what it's all about.
Well, I'm going to throw the ball into Timon's court, but the thing is just to answer your question about how you can find out more about them. You can go on YouTube and just type in auditors, First Amendment auditors, and a list will pop up. And now going back to what Ron Jones just said, you know, there are some, and Officer Mason and I have talked about it. He said, and I agree with him, he said that 10% of them are assholes. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you guys the truth. I have binge-watched these guys. I've seen many of them. There's a bunch of them out there, black and white, Hispanic and all. There's a bunch of them of every color and creed. But it's just amazing where when you start coming across certain ones and you notice their tactics, you know those are that 10% that are really trying to get a rise out of the officers, right? But you do get some that are just, you know, just being really calm and really doing it by the book. Not saying there's a book written on it, but they're actually defending their right. Okay? So, Timon, the ball's in your court. Are you familiar with these auditors? I think you said you are. I think you said that.
I am in certain ways because, you know, I work at Juvenile Hall. We do not allow people to bring in cameras or whatever and take pictures or if you are on the outside on the street, you can take a picture of the building. That's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if you you can stand. But, you know, if you come up in the parking lot and the security guard stops you, you know, like, you know, they just no newspaper newscaster can just come up in our, you know, if you're going to come up in the parking lot, there is a security guard there before you get there in that parking lot. As far as taking pictures, like if you're a military facility, okay, those are government situations, man. You shouldn't be trying to mess with that. No way. What do you need to take pictures of all that for? What's that for? What are you taking pictures of airplanes and whatnot? You can't go on LAX, have these airports. If you try to go up into these where these planes are, where those airports are, and you can stand outside that fence if you want to. You can take pictures all day long, whatever makes you happy. But you cannot go inside that facility, you will be arrested. So,
hold on, just a minute, sir. Keep in mind, I'm saying that these individuals are not crossing the line. Remember, the Supreme Court said that you can take a photograph of anything that your eye can see. They're standing on public property. They're standing on
the
side.
I'm agreeing with you, Mike. You can take a picture as long as you're outside that fence.
Right, exactly, and that's what they're doing. But the security guard will say, "Hey, you can't take a picture of that." And like here, where I live, you know, not too far from Dobbins Air Force Base. And again, I'll say, they got you know these displays of jet planes and everything, and this, that, and the other. Now, I'm not saying that that's ever happened here. I've never seen a video where it happened here at this base. But these individuals are standing on the sidewalk taking pictures of the stuff that is on display. Now, the first question is from them or from the military is that, but what are you taking the pictures for? And most of the officers say, for my personal, you know, collection. I like these planes. All right. So I want you to finish what you were saying. But, right, but these guys are not crossing the line. Trust me, they're not going past
it. Mike, I disagree with you. Mike, I disagree with you. If you can see it from outside the gate, like say it's a wire gate, yeah, you can take that picture.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you can take a picture of a military, you have to be on a military facility. Now, if it's at a private area and you're outside a gate that say it's a wire gate and you can see it, like you see the airport and you see those wire gates, you can take pictures all you want. Okay? Now, you do know you're not going to sue the military and you're not going to win. So if the military catch your butt outside a gate and they don't want you out there, don't think they won't send them MPs out there. It's a whole different deal when you're dealing with the federal government and you're dealing with regular LAPD or Atlanta PD.
I understand that, but now I'm going to tell you. Hold on, brother. I'm going to recommend, seriously, I'm going to recommend just go to YouTube and look at some of these situations.
But you know
what these guys do though? You know what they do, and it goes back to what I'm saying. These guys are standing on public property though. The military does not own that sidewalk. They do not own those power poles. They are not on the military. They know, do not step off that sidewalk onto that grass that the military owns. They know what they're doing.
I said that. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that part. But I don't care if I catch you outside. If they feel that you are a threat in any kind of way, you might get your camera back. You ain't getting no money. Okay? If that military believes that you're a threat, now with everything that went on, where military people have been killed and all these mass shootings have been happening on bases and whatnot, man,
right.
they can pretty much, they may come and question you. You might get your camera back. You might do everything. They just make your day hard. But they aren't going to take no crap on you. And then you can say all the military, tell them all the Supreme Court laws. I used to see guys all the time at Lyon Air Force Base before it became what it is today. Hey, you can stand outside that gate. If them MPs come out there, they have every right to question you on why you're here. They have every right.
Okay,
to
so now, right?
Yeah,
okay, so now I agree with you. I agree with you.
Wait a minute. They can question you. They can also tell you we rely for you to move on.
Okay. They can do that. But now, let me explain something to you. They can request for you to move on, but they can't make you move on if you're standing on public property. Keep that in mind. The military does not own sidewalk.
They catch you in front of a military
hold on. Wait a minute. Timing. Hold on a minute. Listen to what I'm saying now.
I heard what you said, Mike.
But the point I'm trying to make you understand, or I've seen where they've done that many a times, and they're speaking on deaf ears because the military can request, I want you to move on. Be like, well. And this is where we go back to why we're having this conversation. Because what that person says, and I'm not talking about the bad guys, the 10%, which I mentioned, who try to get a rise out of folks. I'm talking about the ones be like, well, wait a minute. According to the Constitution, according to the Supreme Court, and they run it down. Do you know that? Didn't you take an oath that you will uphold the Constitution? I mean, they run it down. And many of them, the military and police officers say, yeah, I swore on the oath of the Constitution. Okay, well, article blah, 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 blah. And I look at the look in the eyes of some of them be like, okay. And then they start getting dumbfounded. And then, believe it or not, They'll go have a huddle. The cops will come. Because the reason why they call the cops, because the fact that they're standing on public property, the military really can't do nothing. They cannot arrest them until they cross that line onto military property. So they call the local sheriff or police and get them involved. And if it's a smart sheriff who knows that these guys are within their rights, as long as they do not, as I say again, cross that line, they will tell the military. I've seen it many a times. Be like, no, as long as they're here on the sidewalk, which is taxpayers' dollars, this is public property, they could take the pictures. As long as you, if it's something you could see with the eye, I agree with you. Once they cross
past that gator fence, no.
You've seen fences where
I've already heard all that you said. I've heard everything you said.
I just want to do this. I just want to go around the table real quick and hear everybody's response about does that make sense or not. Because keep in mind, the military does not own the sidewalk. The military does not own the telephone poles. They don't own the roadway. Now, they might have their own private roads that go into their bases. And like the trespassing sign. The trespassing sign means do not go beyond this fence. You have to be on a certain side of it in order to see that sign saying no trespassing. Once you go beyond that point, now you're trespassing. That's the law. And I agree with you, Timon. I'm not disagreeing. But even if there's not a sign.
I heard everything you said. But my thing
right.
is this. They are going to still come out there. If there's an F-15 plane on a military facility, okay, that is a $5 billion plane.
But if they make it visible to the public, if they make it visible, the bottom line, though, Timon, if they make it visible to the public, you can take a picture of it.
I'm saying, Mike, if it's a military facility, okay, you can look at what's on YouTube if you want to. Take your butt out there to San Diego and talk about looking at some of the planes or looking at any of that military stuff over there. They're coming to see you. Now, you may not go to jail, but you're going to move on.
Okay, so let me go ahead and drop the ball. Let me drop the ball over into Ron. What's your thoughts about the whole thing? What we just discussed?
That's interesting. I hear what our brother Timon saying, and I agree with him what he's saying. I think it depends on if there's some type of particular event going on with the military and sometimes things get lost in communication. I know out here we've had military exercises, if you will, and sometimes communication gets dropped and they don't communicate with our police chief or the captain to inform the Rangers or the officers, hey, how close can the public get to a certain military machinery? Well, we'd like to believe that these auditor people use good common sense and say, hey, man, you know what? That looks like a big project. I'm going to just stay away or I'll take pictures from a distance on public property. But if you're getting too closer, Brother Timon's right. I've seen that happen. The military will send out MPs, and they will pretty much – it's an interesting – deal because they'll come on public property. They'll usually get in touch with a police officer, a sergeant that's on duty, and they'll ask them, hey, man, can you get the people to move back? That's where the problem lies because then we have to say, well, you guys didn't communicate anything with us about a particular exercise, and right now those people want to exercise their freedom to take pictures and look at this military hardware from outside the gate. Now the military might say, yeah, but this is some sensitive stuff. And that's back to your court, Mike. Then that's on the military. They messed up not communicating, or they should have put up a big petition where you can't view this military hardware. It's a interesting thing, and this is a great topic because I believe on both sides of the fence, both sides are using their amendments. The military is using their amendments to protect what they have to protect, and the people are using their rights to, like, well, I pay for it, I want to see it. You know, so how do you correlate that? How do you get people to work together? Because Brother Tommy brought up something, too, that people better use common sense and just have some wherewithal about. You guys know we experienced 9/11. We experienced just the other day. Didn't somebody go into a store? I just heard about it, killed 14 people. These kinds of things are happening. And so these officers, I like how you phrased it, Mike. You did separate Brother Time, and Michael did separate the ones who are just way zealous to the doing this stuff. That those mm-hmm. of us, we already know, like, okay, you got a problem. But the common folk that's just taking a picture, okay, we don't need to induce an arrest. We need to induce educating them.
But that's
like, hey,
what
man,
I
look.
Saying.
But yeah. but here's the thing. Okay, can I say this real quick, and then Time, and I'll let you chime in and follow up on that. And then Bernie, if you want to follow up also after that. And I see some folks on the board. If you guys have any questions or comments, please hit the number one. Oh, my God, I forgot to open up the chat room. Let me open up the chat room. I was rushing. But here's the thing is that we're in many of the videos, and I truly recommend you guys, because most of you have said you're not familiar with this, but I truly recommend you go to YouTube and just pull up some of these videos and look at and see what I'm telling you. See the difference of the ones, like I said, about 10% are really got the hard on and trying to sue, you know, trying to make it bad. And I've even responded, and I've read some of the comments from some folks who look at their videos and say, like, you're a total asshole. You just trying to, you know, start some crap, cussing at the officers and everything, you know. You got 10% of them. 90% of them are actually abiding by the law. And it goes back to where my whole thing about this conversation, when does policy trump law? Policy never trumps law. Policy should never trump a law. The Constitution says you have the right. And if you read the first, second, third, and fourth, depending on the situation that you're dealing with, an officer has to, or an individual or an officer has to articulately state that you have committed a crime, or about to commit a crime, or have committed a crime. They have to articulate that. You've seen many of videos on cops and other shows where they stop a person and the guy says, well, what am I being arrested for? I'll tell you in a minute. You're not being arrested. You're being detained. Well, why are you detaining me? You have to articulate, what did I do wrong? And granted, sometimes it's obvious, well, you did this, you know, or you did that, or we ran your license plate and found out this car is stolen. But I have a hunch don't work. I have a hunch. I just feel this way. You look suspicious. That don't work. And that so-called suspicious answer gets the police department in trouble a lot of times. Like I said, these small towns and these individuals who are not trained or do not know the difference between law and policy are handing over thousands of dollars to folks in lawsuits. You can Google it. It's right there. Your tax dollars being handed over every day. Let me drop the ball over Bernie, B-Man, what's your thoughts about it?
Okay. You know what? It's great points on both sides. But you and Timon are right. And I think Ron brought it home when he said, in the case of, like, if it's a military facility and the person, you know, is just out in the public watching it, if the military is having something special going on, that should have been done with the county or the city and let, you know, the authorities know, hey, even though that's public property, today, maybe just today, we're trying to, and then they could put somebody out there and say, hey, you can't take any pictures today because something is going on and the city has, you know, locked it down or whatever. See, those
you
those
block
are,
off the street. You block off
yeah.
all access. Right. You
right,
block off the
right.
whole street. That's what you do.
Right, right. Right. But as far as someone, you know, and that's what I say, I don't know much about it. You know, I know we have our rights, and like you say, rights trump policy any day of the week, you know, because
exactly.
you always have, you know, you always have the right. They don't say, you know, just like if you're arrested, they say you have the right to remain silent. They don't say you have the policy
what?
To remain silent, you know. So, you know, and their rights, they have their rights and we have our rights. So that is a good thing just to know what they are. And
and they
say,
warn you.
Everybody, yeah, everybody.
And they warn you. They say you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. They warn you of that.
In a court of law, that's right. So the law. Right.
That, you know, bro, you know, you plead the fifth. I'm not going to say nothing to incriminate myself. Now I want to say this real quick, and then time in, I want you to chime in if you don't mind, sir. But I like what Bernie just said about if the military has something special going on. Yeah, if they're moving a plane from one hangar to another, and honestly, I worked at Dobbins before. I worked there. You'd be so amazed of all the underground. It really has an underground city, in a sense. That is one of the most amazing places I've ever planes. They have streets like Electric Avenue. That's where they install the electricity to all the planes. You know, they got all kinds of names. You got carts and folks on bikes and everything. It's just an amazing place. When I worked in construction, I was able to work on a job where I worked at Dobbins. And it's really, there's like an underground city. So with that being said, whenever the president will come to town, okay, I was doing a job over there. We were making a what used to be the CEO Club into a daycare center. Between the hours of 11:45 and 12:45 or so, we could not walk out the building. We could not get in our cars. We had to be indoors. The president was going to be landing. The plane was going to land. The car was going to pick him up, escort him, because he's going to do an event in downtown Atlanta and this and the other, right? You cut outside, you might get shot. That was the truth. That base was silent. No movement whatsoever. This is Dobbins Air Force Base. And they meant that to all of us construction workers. They let us know every day, this is the date. Whatever you have to bring to work to eat for lunch, you ain't leaving the base to go to lunch at this time. You better sit your ass in that building. And we did. Because they got snipers all over. And then when he came back, same process. I experienced that. Now, see, I can see that. I understand that. Where you're sitting out. But this is on the base. So then when the president is traveling from the base to, let's say, a hotel he's going to speak at, what do? They shut down the whole streets, right? The whole route. Same thing if the military has a private plane or whatever, a top secret plane, you know, and everything. They should shut down the whole street where nobody has access to see that, which I'm pretty sure they do that. But my argument, well, not an argument, but my whole thing is that where you got to remember that these are military bases that put stuff on display for you to see and take pictures of. You drive past Dobbins and they got on both sides. There's a back side and a front side. And they got these fighter planes, these old fighter planes there for you to look at. And as long as you're standing on public property, you have the right to take a picture, videotape it, don't matter. As long as you do not step onto what the military property is, that's not against the law. And the thing is that where, here's the problem. Every officer swears to uphold the Constitution. Every officer has to be sworn in, right? To uphold the Constitution. Now, Ron, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I believe you being even a ranger, you have to uphold the Constitution because you're law enforcement.
Yes.
Right. So the Constitution is the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, all the amendments. If you go and take a look at it, he has to uphold the Constitution before upholding policy. If someone comes to him and say, hey, look, this is what the Constitution says. This is law. Now, many companies come up with policies. If it's private company, if it's a private company, that's policy, right? A private company, a Home Depot or a Lowe's can say, hey, look, you know, we're not government. But a government entity has to abide by law, not policy. There's a difference, folks. I'm sorry, but there is a difference.
Yes.
Like I said earlier, you can go into a United States post office right now and videotape everything in the lobby as long as you don't go behind that counter. But you can videotape. And then there's folks who want to complain and call the cops and say, well, I don't want to be videotaped. They don't have the right to videotape me. When you walk into a Lowe's or a Home Depot, they're videotaping your ass. What, you going to get mad at them? They got the right to do it as a private company. And the thing is that where, when you're out in public, there's no guarantee that you are not going to be videotaped. You do not have the right to privacy. People are getting tickets, driving their cars, running a stop sign. Cop don't have to see you. The eye in the sky did. Guess what? You get a ticket in the mail. What, you going to argue that in court? Well, you shouldn't have had a camera out there to record me running that stop sign. No, there's no right to privacy when you're in public whatsoever. And this is what I'm trying to say, you guys. We got to really pay attention and understand. I'm really starting to take a look at this in a big way of knowing that policy does not work everywhere. Law trumps policy, especially when it comes to, you know, your right to videotape, your right to, I mean, there's a lot of things you have rights to. And unfortunately, people invade your rights because they don't know and you don't know that it's not against the law. It's not. Supreme Court just said in 2011, you can videotape anything within view as long as you are on public property. Does that make sense?
I would add this real quick. You can videotape anything in view of public property as long as you don't impede someone else's pathway. So let's say
Exactly.
Right. Let's say you're videotaping, let's say, in front of a public library, and you're causing problems, you're in the way of people trying to walk from their right to walk into the library, you're impeding. We get calls like that all the time. And then I'll tell the auditor, hey, I'm Ranger Ron. Hey, we got a call that you're impeding the pathway of other public people that want to go to a public library. I'm going to ask you, to move a videotape from a different angle. Oh, no, it's my right to do this and that. And I like what Brother Bernie said. He said something very interesting that I really like, Brother. I hope he's listening. You have the right to do whatever you want. But you don't understand what Brother Timing said. There's some consequences that you better be ready for. And so, yeah, you have the right. Man, you have the right to go out and walk naked and take a dump in the middle of the street. Go ahead and do it. But there's some consequences to that. Some flies might fly into your butt.
Actually, they will get you for indecent exposure because you have to take your pants down to take a crap. So they didn't have to witness it, but once they know that a person said, "I saw him do it," they could say, "Well, we didn't see it, but if you said that you saw it, then we're going to say, well, according to this witness, you bared your ass." Bottom line. So that's exposure. Even guys, to be honest, if you go behind a dumpster to take a leak, that's no one has to see you do it. But if they go back there and they see the trash can wet and you just came from there, and they can say, yeah, that looks like urine to me, that's indecent exposure. Because you removed your private part in public. And you did your due. That's true. That's a fact.
Yeah.
It's all speculation, but sometimes speculation can become a reality, you know, when you're in trouble with the law. Now, I've heard a lot of folks say, you know, don't share too much information with officers. Don't tell them this and that and the other. And I agree with that. Because officers are not trained to help you. They're trained to get a case against you. When an officer pulls you over, and I'm going to share this because, as I said, you guys, check it out. When they start talking about stuff that has nothing to do with what they pulled you over for, don't say nothing.
Right.
Just be like, right. I watched this brother, you know, the officer saying, where are you coming from? Where are you going? What you stopped me for? To ask me what is my day like? You stopped me. You said I did a rolling stop. I didn't stop completely at the stop sign. Oh, okay. Where you live? What does that have to do with it? I gave you my license. It tells you my address and everything. See, because it's all about trying to catch you, trick you, whatever.
Yeah.
In some cases. Now, I'm not saying all officers, but many of them do.
Yeah, you're right.
But again, I want to say is that the reason why I wanted to have this conversation, and thank you, Ron, for coming on. Share with for all of our listeners, you being a ranger is, I'm sure, totally different from being an officer on the street, and it's surely not any easier. What kind of experiences that you deal with, you know, especially as a park ranger, I'm sure it's a different experience. Am I right?
It's I pretty much do everything a police officer does. We just do it. Our jurisdictions are at the parks, just like in California, the park rangers, you have forest rangers, their jurisdictions is probably in the forest areas. Ours, we have the parks, and we have a lake that I have to patrol. We have these washes where people can go on trails up into the mountains and stuff like that. So we do everything a police officer does, just not in the public street. So if something happens in the street, then I have to call a police officer to handle that part of that jurisdiction. If it happens on park property, which is interesting because it's kind of public / government property, and that's where you would call a park ranger, we deal with that. So it is probably the same in California, Texas, pretty much all the states. And there's different types of park rangers. You have your tourism park rangers. You have your sworn park rangers. My job in Queen Creek, we're non-sworn, but we operate like police officers. We do everything. And you said something interesting. I like how, because people have to really educate themselves the difference between private property and public property. You mentioned like going into Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart. Yeah, private property, if they say we don't want cameras in there, you videotape it. A security guard, I'm assuming logically that Walmart security could tell you, no, you can't film it here. Oh, yes, I can. It's my First Amendment right. You can go outside and do it on the sidewalk, but in Walmart, it's like coming inside my house. And we have a policy that says no videotaping. That's kind of, I'd like to hear what your guests say about that, because that's interesting, because with the video cameras now on our phone, that's kind of hard to enforce. I'd like to hear you guys' take on that.
Well, you know what, and I want to go ahead and get everybody involved, but that's another thing that was said, and again, and I really want to force, not force, but I really want you guys to, I want to really make it, I mean, I'm just really trying to make it clear of where you really have to look at some of these videos, because most of you guys said you're not aware of these auditors, but once you start looking at the 10% that are bad, the 90% that are good, and look at what they're doing, they're kind of holding their feet to the fire of protecting the Constitution. When some of these officers say, well, how would you feel if a person was standing out in front of your house? They said, well, that's the difference. The difference is this. This place where you work is not your house. This place where you work, speaking to the officers or whoever, is your job. And us as taxpayers pay for this building. It is public access. There's a video where a guy walks into a police station. The gates are wide open. There's no signs saying personnel only beyond this point, not one sign whatsoever. And the guy walks over there and he's videotaping everything, and all of a sudden this officer comes out and be like, hey, you can't be over here. You can't be over here. I don't see any signs. And there isn't. He has the right to videotape those cars. Those cars are tax paid, right? Those cars go up and down the street every day. If you have nothing there to say, police personnel only beyond this point, he has the right to walk up in there. One guy, I saw a video. No, your job might be different, right? And depends on the person.
I know one thing.
You're
trying to say, but you're stretching it. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that you're stretching it, because there are consequences of what these people are trying to do. I can look at all the video you want. It doesn't matter. You do not.
I'm not stretching nothing. I'm not stretching nothing. What I'm trying to say. Go ahead. I'm going to elaborate, but go ahead.
Yeah, let me finish, and then you can have the floor, because these people who are showing up with cameras and videos and everything else, okay, when you get through, you can stand outside the gate if you want, and like I said before, my first thing, if it's a wire gate and you can see inside like you see at an airport, you can take all the pictures you want, okay? But if they find you as they feel that, say they come out to if you approach and somebody sees you out there, like you're near a military installation and you're on public or whatever, but you're just taking pictures away, they will come out there and have you move. Okay? And then you'll say, oh, I can do so-and-so. Dude, either you have, and I don't know if you've ever been arrested by MP, okay? But you're not doing that out in San Diego. And they can say all the auditors and whatever they want. You're not walking up at my job working at probation. You can't go. You can go on the parking lot, but you're not going up in that facility. And there are LAPD and sheriff departments sitting outside that will tell you to move and have you leave that parking structure or that parking lot. Either way it goes, you can bring your cameras. I mean, even Channel 7 just can't come in and start videotaping.
They can't do that. If they tell them they need them to leave, they're going to move. And you can holler, and because what the law does or what the police will do, get me later. And you better have all your stuff because they're going to, I mean, it's just going to end up and be something. Unless I put my hands on you or really push you around or break your camera, not going to happen. That's all I got to say about it. You can have the floor.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. That's timing, Chip. Appreciate that, though, timing. But, I mean, and I understand you said in San Diego. Now, I've seen many hundreds of videos of these guys' chest everywhere. Now, I cannot say for sure. I know that they've gone into Orange County and different counties, and I do believe they've done it in the San Diego area. But I'll have to take a look and see. As far as a military base in San Diego. But trust and believe, and I'm going to look and see if they ever tested the San Diego area. But trust and believe once you, because you already said that you have not seen the videos, but I keep stressing, take a look. You'll be surprised at some of the situations. And granted, some individuals, don't forget, not some, many have been arrested. And I've said this over and over again. Many have been arrested, and they wind up suing and getting paid. They get paid. Because once they go to court, the judge looks at it and says, where were they? Keep in mind, you know, this ain't back in the 1980s or 90s. Now we got body cams, not just the cops. These guys got body cams. They got cell phones recording. They're going live on Facebook and all that type of stuff. So they got followers who are looking at this, and they're telling folks, call this place, call this police department, do this, that, and the other. They got backup. They got witnesses. That's what makes it a world of difference. And so they take that, and even if those officers take their equipment, the thing is that I forgot what the term is called, but they file something, I can't think of the name of it, because even if the officer uses his personal camera to take a picture of them, he makes a request for that because he's got it on his video cam, on his body cam, that the officer took a picture of him. So then he's got he has a viewpoint of what the officer has. He requests that. When they review the video that he has, it shows, yes, he did. And by law, they have to show that. Now, I'm not saying that every police department or every jurisdiction abides by the law, because there has been some where some things have been blacked out, the audio has been muted, or this, that, and the other. I watched one where a guy had a shootout with an officer. The officer said, I shot him 3 times. The officers come. The guy was wrong. Granted, the guy was wrong. The officer was at the back side of his car and shot through the side passenger window. He said, I hit him 3 times. I'm like, wow, that dude was crazy. But then I see where the other officers come, and the one officer is telling the guy, put your hands out the window. The other officer is saying, put your hands on the steering wheel. And it's back and forth and back and forth. But then another officer comes, and when they get him out the car, he says, hey, all radios are live, okay? All radios are live. And it made me wonder, what does that mean? Is he trying to say something of where, be careful what you say, all cameras are live, all radios are live, and everything? That's a different thing,
yeah.
You know, in a sense. But the point I'm trying to say is that where, Simon, I understand what you're saying, you know, going on a military base, but I'm just telling you, I've seen many of these videos where they have been right there, and the military knows they're going to come and say, and I've seen where they came to some of these guys, you know, and these guys know the law. And in fact, Ron just said, he's dealt with some of them. He's seen them, and he knows, okay, I know who these guys are. I know what they're trying to do. All right. I'm going to, you know, just try to like keep it down, don't escalate anything. Like, okay, you're on the public right away, you're on the sidewalk, you can take pictures, you can videotape, as long as you do not cross over beyond this point. This is our property. The military can come and say, well, we want you to move on. But in the videos that I've seen, the military has never arrested anybody. What they do, they have to call local law enforcement. And local law enforcement will come, and in a lot of them, the local law enforcement will be like, hey, you guys got to leave. And they tell them, hey, look, no, I'm on this property here. This is, you know. Now, the local officer, or better yet, the video guy would say, can you get a sergeant out here? And 9 times out of 10, yeah. They'll call the sergeant. And you know what happens? The sergeant will pull those officers over to the side and be like, but he up shh. Okay, you know. And then the sergeant walks over. How you doing? Yeah, fine. Hey, look, you guys are okay as long as you stay right here. You know, just don't cross over. You know, just stay right here on the sidewalk, and that's fine. You can record whatever you want. That's what normally happens. The sergeant is the smartest one out of the bunch. Am I right or wrong, Ron?
No, you're right. And I think timing, I think it's case by case. And he brought up something that I know that at our police station, we have signage up. Timing, is yours the same? We have signage up that you can't go beyond this point. It says personnel only. So if you go beyond that point, yet you're going to be met with the police, our sheriff department, if you
right.
see that signage. And even if you don't see that signage, as timing said, military will send someone out there and explain to you, you can't be here, and I'm sure the auditor will say, well, I don't see no sign. Well, it's around the way, and that's why I'm here, to let you know that you're too close and you got to move on. Well, I don't want to move on. No problem. Then you call the local police officer. The local police officer is going to ask the military personnel, is this signage? Yeah, it's around here, and this guy's just being giving us a tough time. And that local police officer is going to say, I'm sorry, I know that you don't see a sign here, but there is a sign right down the street. You see it, sir, right there? And it covers this whole jurisdiction. So we're going to ask you to move away from this military compound or wherever it is, and you can film from a different location. Oh, I don't want to do that. And as Bernie said, you have the right to do whatever you want. And Timey said it too. There's consequences to your behavior. People got to understand, I get it. You got your rights. Oh, this nonsense people nowadays. Oh, I got the right to do this and that. No problem. There's some consequences to it. Well, what's going to be the consequences? As Timey said, well, right now we're going to induce an arrest, and we'll deal with the camera stuff later in court. And may the best man win. And you're right, Michael. You're right. They might win. They might get that money. But the military personnel, watch this, and the police personnel will follow two things, policy, and they will follow the amendment. And they'll say, I'm going to stay right in that framework. The problem is you do have some zealous police officers that get too thin-skinned, and they deviate from policy, make it personal, and that's why they lose in court. Because then they start, because they approach it instead of telling them, introducing themselves, hey, I'm Ranger Ron. Instead, they just come up, Michael, what are you here for? What are you doing? Move out of here. And that right there caused, it's a psychological thing. You cause them to be on the defense, and now you got a problem. Now you can't even discuss what's going on. Even when you're dealing with a person with real bad behavior, a police officer is still supposed to make civility and remind themselves, I am a servant of the people, and not take it personal. That's the problem with a lot of police. Not all of them. Some police make it personal, and then that's why it becomes a lawsuit, and that's why they lose to these auditors.
Exactly. And that's how come I wanted to have this conversation. It just boggles my mind when I've done some research, and I'm like, wow, and for the folks who are listening in the chat room and online, if you have any questions or comments, you can also head into the show and share your questions or comments. The number is 516-531-9861, 516-531-9861. The chat room should be open. I'm going to go back, and if you don't want to call in, you can also post your questions or comment into the chat room. I'll definitely get it out there. But, Ron, this is why I wanted to talk about this, because it all goes back to knowing the Constitution, knowing your rights and the law. What trumps?
Yes.
Does policy or does the law? And you look at people who are doing this every day, that they are, you know, I mean, we always heard of you're not going to violate my Second Amendment rights, this and the other. But people, unfortunately, don't know the Constitution, don't know the variety of laws that are rights, amendment rights. All they know is policy. See, that's the problem. We follow policy.
Watch this. I'll add this to your question. What trumps policy versus law? Here, in my opinion, is the answer. People's pride. That's what trumps it, because they see the policy. Policy one says you can do A, B, and C. Okay. Amendment says I can do A, B, and C. Oh, okay, I get it. And now here we go. Out of my house, into the public, and I'm Mr. Man. I didn't watch 100 episodes of Fox. I watched 100 episodes of CNN, and I watched 200 episodes of Cops. And all of a sudden, I've Googled 1,000 different YouTubes, and so I know what I'm talking about. You can't tell me nothing. Pride. Pride gets in the way of the police officer and the person that they're dealing with. That's what trumps policy and the amendment. If people would swallow that pride and say, man, you know what? I see the sign there. Or like Timing said, I don't even have to see a sign. I noticed it, like, oh, they're doing, you know what? I'm not going to mess with that. You know, it's like seeing a snake going across trying to get from one side to the other. Like, I'm going to go mess with that snake. Okay, go ahead. You're going to get bit. There's a consequence there. Leave the snake alone. Just leave him alone.
Right.
He'll be fine. But no, my pride says I watched all these episodes on wildlife animal. I know how to deal with a snake. Go ahead, we're gonna watch you.
That's very true.
Right.
They don't look at the reality of the situation.
No, they don't.
They look beyond it. Now, with that being said, and people are talking about, police reform. What's your thoughts about police reform? And before you answer, I want to say something. Not every state is the same. You know, there are state laws. There are certain laws in certain states that do not pertain to every state. So let's say, for instance, if you get stopped by a cop and they ask you for your ID, okay, you're driving a vehicle, you got to show your ID in many states. There's some states that, you know, unless the cop, as I said, can articulate what they're stopping you for, let's say, for instance, you're just even walking down the street. In some states, they can't just stop you and say, hey, you look suspicious. You got some ID? They can't do that. But some states, they can't. Okay, so state by state. So, and the thing is that if you live in a certain state, know the law of the state. You just moving to a new state, learn the law of that state, and even the local ordinances. You know, it varies. It definitely varies. I have to say what got me one time is a long time ago, I remember I went to a store and there was a dispute between a customer and the store owner, right? And the store owner was pissed and he called the cops. I knew the owner. His name was Victor. I worked on his house. And I was like, let me get on out of here. I lived right around the corner. And I just was walking, because it was right around the corner. I was just walking home three blocks away, and the cops pulled me over and said, hey, you got some ID on you? I'm like, what's going on? Well, you got to, I said, I don't have to give you my ID for what? What are you stopping me for? Well, you got to give us your ID. So I gave them my ID. But then they asked for my social security number. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This is before all this auditing crap started. I said, social security number is not a form of ID. Yes, it is. I said, yes, for my taxes, but not for this. No, you have to give us your social. I said, no, I don't. You have my ID in your hand. It has my picture. It's a state. It's a Georgia ID. It has my license number on it. It shows who I am. It shows my eye color, my birth date, everything. I don't have to give you my social security number because on the social security card it says not a form of ID. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
You hear? It was not. It's not considered a social security card at this time now. Was not a form of identification. It was a form of identification for tax purposes, for like your, you know, like when you work for a company, you know, well, they got to have your social in order to, you know, tax you and everything. It was not meant to identify you if you're going down the street and you get stopped by the cops. If you can't just whip out your social security card and say, well, that's me for anything. No, that was your social security number based on your income, taxes, this, that, and the other, right? It's a number that follows you the rest of your life. But I remember, and you can Google it, it used to say not a form of identification. You have to have an ID.
Yeah.
Right. You have to still have an ID. Not just without your social security card number. And they kept on trying to press me to give them my social security number. And I was like, I don't have to give you that. You already have what you need. And they kept on saying, well, sir, do you want to go to jail? I'm like, no, I don't. I said, but I don't have to give you my social security number. Why do you need that? Because by law, I said, what law? And we went back and forth and back and forth. But you know what? The one officer, it was a lady officer and a male, and said, do we need to go ahead and look it up? I said, please do. And he told her, go look it up. And she went and got a book out the car and was looking and looking and looking. And he kept on trying to get it out of me. I'm like, I don't see why I need to give you my personal social security number. You have my driver's license ID. I said, I don't know what you might do with it. I was honest. And I'm walking down the street, and you have not told me. And I said, I bet it's something to do with that store up the street. Yes, they called the cops. I said, I know the owner. His name is Victor. Then they kind of like laid back a little bit. I said, I know him. I said, you want to go back up there? You know, because I'm pretty sure they sent another unit over there, you know, because the guy, I guess, left out. But I'm like, no, I'm not going to give you my social security number. I stood strong on that. I said, you can run me all you want. And they ran it, and they said, okay, you're free to go. But you got to know your rights is the bottom line, is all I'm saying. And unfortunately, many of us don't. We don't know our rights. We don't look at a – I see a hand waving. I'm going to open up this mic in a moment. But we don't look at the Constitution. We don't look at the amendments and where you can protect yourself. Now, some folks say, oh, just go ahead and comply. I'm going to comply with I feel comfortable. You know what I mean? I'm not going to just do whatever. But like I just said, officer sits up there and keeps asking you questions, where are you coming from? What did you stop me for? Okay, I ran the stop sign, fine. I don't have to tell you my life story. Let me open up this mic here, 831-440. Let's see here, Penn Willing, and your mic is open. Welcome to the TMGS. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Ms. Tina Burstein.
Hello,
I'm calling from California.
All right.
You probably know
beautiful
me as your niece.
Yes, I do.
Listen to your show. My thing, I've been listening to your show for a little bit today, and I have a question. It just sparked a question for me because I feel like everything that we're talking about or that you guys are talking about has a lot to do with race as well, primarily, and with me, my husband's white, and we have a daughter, and so it's caused a lot of conversations. It's been difficult to educate a white man on what it is to be a black person and how to raise our daughter, with like the Breonna Taylor stuff that happened and all of that, and like knowing your rights and all of that. Because I mean, I've had a few instances in which I lived in another place in California in which I got pulled over and the cop basically told me, I'm pulling you over because you're black and I can get away with it. That's literally what he said. So I got a speeding ticket, which I didn't speed, and I just paid for it because I didn't know my rights. My question for you guys is, how do I prepare my child for this kind of life? Because it's just getting worse. To be honest,
that's,
I mean, yeah, it's all on camera everywhere, and how do I prepare my husband to raise my daughter?
Ron, I'm going to let you go ahead and chime in on that, because, in fact, I believe, your wife is not black. She's not white. Your wife is Spanish, right?
Yes, correct.
Or am I wrong? Okay, and I'm pretty sure that you've experienced some of the same thing. So go ahead and share your thoughts.
Well, I'm from Pasadena, California, where a lot of blacks and Latinos, we get married. And
I was born there
I call my wife a black chicken, and my kids are black chickens. I would share with you this, I would try to put my focus. I'm a godly man. I try to raise my kids. None of my kids haven't had any really challenges where race is involved because of their skin color. Because I've raised them to just like be a man first, be a young lady first. Let the skin color be second. People are going to do what they do, There's bad racism from, unfortunately, some white people. And there's bad black folks that do a lot of bad things to white people. That's just keeping it 100. There's bad brown people to do it, too. That's the world we live in. So I would encourage you to raise your kid to not be afraid, to get out there and understand that life happens, and to be that shining light no matter how difficult things are going to be. Because difficulty, Michael Jay has his show. He's had to go through some challenges. He and I talk, and I appreciate him. He keeps evolving no matter how difficult it is. He keeps his show going. And I'm sure Brother Bernie on there and Timmy, he works in the probation. I'm sure he's got some stories that, like, man, he's had to overcome some difficult things to be where he's at. All of us, you too, man. I'm sure you've gone through life. Share your life experiences, right, that you've gone through to have to overcome something that's difficult, unfair, and just stand fast. I don't know what you believe in. I have a lot of faith in the God that I serve, and God is always telling me, Ron, stop focusing on those bad moments, because especially you have no control over it. So keep it moving 100, keep your faith, and learn to shake your tree, shake the bad things from that tree, and grasp on to the good things on that tree, and they'll overcome. Your husband, he'll be fine. It sounds like he has an awesome wife right there, you know. My wife and I, we do a lot of history in my house. I have, if you're in my house, you'll see I got pictures of, I'm a historian. I like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Toussaint Louverture, and I got stuff like that. And then she has her Ponce de Leon, Cesar Chavez. We got pictures like that. And we have a history house where we learn about each other's culture. And my wife and I go back and forth. Sometimes I don't agree with some of the things her culture does. She doesn't agree with some of the things my culture does. But guess what? At the end of the day, we look at that. We both bleed red.
It's the culture.
Family. Yep. Right.
It's where you came from.
Right. And I'll tell you something that Solomon said in the Bible. I hear a lot of people say, oh, things are getting worse. I said, you know, let me ask you a question. Do you guys believe that Solomon existed? Yeah. You know, he made a quote in the Bible. He says, nothing's new under the sun. What happened yesterday is going to happen today, and it's going to happen tomorrow. So these circumstances are with us. So we shouldn't make remarks, in my opinion, things are getting worse. Oh, it was worse back then. Oh, okay, you're right. Or because if we live like that, you're going to end up saying, I'm not coming outside because, man, there's a roaring lion outside my door, so I can't even go to the store. You know, we got to face our giants, and in this case, racism, face our giants, COVID, face our giants, employers that are unfair to us, and just say, you know what, I'm going to trust God, and God has me in the right situation. After all, I coach football, and I'll end with this. I coach football, right? I was telling my team the other day, what's football all about after winning the game? It feels good, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you play an opponent that's no good, how could it be fun? You see what I'm going? It has to be some kind of pushback where, so when I do win, I feel like, oh, man, I worked hard, I studied hard, I practiced, and we won. Life is like that. It's going to be hard. It was hard for Jesus. It was hard for Muhammad. It was hard for Moses. It's hard for Michael Gay, for Timing, for you, Bernie.
Malcolm X, I call it.
right.
All of them.
So we just got to say, yeah. It's hard for my cat and dog. My dog is a Democrat and my cat is a Republican. And they but they live in the same house. And they do okay.
Right.
So keep that
now, let me
unit.
Ask you guys
that's
a question real quick, though. But I have to ask you this. What I found interesting, and Dana, I like that question, because, and I like what you both have shared, because my grandchildren are part Black and Spanish, okay? My granddaughters. But think about the countries that deal with racism as a whole. What countries deal with racism? Think about it. What countries deal with racism? I want to do the Jeopardy song, okay? Time's up.
Well, I think
the
United States, of course,
the country that deals with the most racism is right here in the United States, okay?
Absolutely.
And Canada. And England.
Yeah.
Name a country in Africa that deals with racism. No. Name a country in your Eastern or your Middle East countries deal with racism. They deal with religion. And beliefs.
Right. Yeah.
They don't deal with color. Right? Correct me if I'm wrong. China don't deal with racism because they're all Chinese. Japanese.
Yeah.
They don't deal with race. They're all Japanese. They deal with beliefs.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. And in fairness to America, we are the melting pot country of the world. So what comes with melting pot? So China and all those other countries like that, yeah, they just deal with their own people. So they deal with classism probably and religion. That's about it. We deal with all of it.
But now you remember
and
when
the, and I have the and I have the right to deal with it.
But it is really interesting when you look at these countries that it's not about, I mean, they're all the same, but they have different beliefs.
Yes.
I mean, here in America, you got black Baptists, you got white Baptists, you got black Methodists, you got white Methodists, you got Catholics, Jews, and everything. But it all comes down to color, right? It all comes down to the ethnic group. We all want this, and as you just said, I mean, this is the melting pot where everybody is supposed to be able to come here and everything. But unfortunately, it's melting in a negative way with the racism here. But it just amazes me where, and I hate the ignorance of some folks who think that Africa is a country and don't realize it's a continent that has many countries. That's just total ignorance. Total ignorance.
I mean, personally, I don't know. I don't think that we're becoming a melting pot in a negative way. I just think that with social media and all of that, it's just shining a light on everything that's already been happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's already been happening. But now people can videotape this stuff and post it. And so now it's just highlighting what's already been going on. So I don't think it's worse.
Yeah.
I just think we can see it more.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
it's more business.
And now we're being faced with the issue of how do we fix this? And... you know, and the fact that people can't get away with stuff anymore, really, at this point. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Again, I'm going to go back to what I was talking about as far as the First Amendment guys. You know, if it wasn't for video cameras or better yet, phones, body cams, these guys could not stand out there with just a regular Kodak camera and do what they're doing. They'd be in jail in a heartbeat. You know, back in the day, they couldn't do it. Their finger wouldn't move fast enough to take the pictures of what's going on, right? Or you create film. Now, you know, I mean, you couldn't do that back then. They'd just take that camera and crush it. But now you have, like you have, as you just said, you have Facebook, you got Instagram and all these different platforms and folks who have their own Zoom and everything. And it's scaring cops, it's starting to scare some crooked cops, I should say, that, hey, you know, I'm live streaming. There's 500 folks watching me right now. Some of these guys have over 1 million followers. And the moment an officer slips up live, hell, he might lose his job. He might get indicted. So they got to be careful. And then look at how many officers are quitting.
That's good. I'm glad. I know a many lot of my fellow colleagues, they'd be mad at me for saying that. But that needed to happen because now you're putting everybody, you know, in check. Hey, man, do your job the way it's supposed to be done. Stop being a bully police officer. There's some bad police officers, but I'll tell you this, you guys. There are really a lot of good police officers. I work for them.
Right,
And we welcome them. Hey, I welcome you videotaping me. In fact, if you go look up Ron Jones, town of Queen Creek, Park Rangers, you'll see a lot of tape about me. Just type in Queen Creek Park Rangers, and you'll see me being taped, and I embrace it because I'm going to do my due diligence to be a public servant.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of personal police officers that I love dearly, but I'm sorry. If a cop car drives by, I still get a little quiver in my soul. Just saying. But, you know, I think it's just the way our generation was raised, maybe.
Have you gone to some of those police citizens academy? That's what we have out here, so we can develop relationships, because we don't want you going out there being scared or feeling kind of some kind of way. Do they have that out there with you guys, Mike, or anybody, police, citizens academy? That's what we have.
Tim and I live very, very far away. I'm in California. I'm up in Humboldt, California. I don't know if they have that here. I haven't really reached out to see. We've had some issues up here, but...
I'll bet you they have that. And if so, I really encourage, Mike, all your listeners, get involved with the Police Community Citizen Academy. Because what you'll learn, that sometimes you go on a ride-along. A lot of the ride-alongs have stopped because of COVID. But you can still come to the academy and learn procedures, how police handle certain incidences. And Michael put it out there. I like what you said, Mike, because a lot of people really don't know their rights. And to be honest, a lot of police officers don't know policy. They know some of us have to carry a cheat sheet so I know what to say and how to deal with a particular situation. But if you go to those Citizens Academy, man, you're like, oh, so that's why the police officer pulled me over and said this and that. Okay, I see now. Okay. It's not always because you're black. Honestly, you guys, be honest, a lot of black folks, my friends, oh, he pulled me over because I was black. And I said, let me take a look at your car. And I looked at their car, and their windows are tinted. I said, I got to ask you a question. How did he know that you was black? I know he knew. I said, your windows are tinted. I can't even tell that you're black through those tinted windows.
Right.
And that's the honest truth. But most police pull you over, they're pulling over the car because you, of a faulty taillight, a U-turn, or some type of traffic violation. And if your car's tinted, they can't tell if you're black.
Well, you know what was so crazy? And like I said, I sat back and I kind of like binge watched one day some of the old episodes of Cops. And unfortunately, Officer Crenshaw couldn't make it this evening. I already mentioned that earlier in the show. He normally comes to all the shows. But Officer Mason said, to him, there's a difference between a cop and a police officer. Now, he said this on another show I was listening to. He said, a cop is the ones like you see on certain shows that's a bully type guy, you know, slamming the guy to the ground, you know, unnecessarily. And I did see an episode one time that really kind of bothered me. It was an older show. But keep in mind, you know, they got the cameras on them, you know, that look tough, you know, mess with me. And I'm pretty sure that some of them, they're like, oh, I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to show I'm a tough guy. Of course there's going to be a few of them like that. And one officer made it very clear to me that's what he did, because the officer who was actually chasing the guy, got the guy, had him on the ground, put your hands behind your back. This other officer gets out of his car. He rolls up and runs up, and he grabs the guy's legs and crosses them over and bends them over his back. You know, I'm like, the dude's already on his stomach on the ground. Why do you have to do all that? You know, I'm like, come on. That was just too much. You know, he's already complied to what the other officer told him. Lay on the ground, put your hands out. And the other officer comes and does this. So, but then what Officer Mason was saying, but you got cops and then you have police officers. And he shared a story, and he said, and I think I mentioned this last week, that where he lived in a community where it was a tough area, he actually lived there. And a lot of folks say that would be good if officers would live in the communities that they serve, not bringing somebody who lives, you know, 45 minutes away or 2 hours away to come over here into this area and be a cop and then go back home. You know what I mean? It's like go to war and then go and take a leave. Be around that area. And he said that this is Officer Sam Mason now, he said that, you know, he got to know the neighborhood. The kids liked him. He said, you know what, he said, and this is really from his mouth, he said, a lot of cops say, you know, I just want to make it home every night to my family. He said, the thing is, in some cases, those drug dealers and everything allowed you to go home because there's some of them who will kill an officer. This is what he said. They will actually kill an officer. He said, but certain officers get to know the community, and some of those folks say, like, don't mess with him. He's looking out for us. And not saying every drug dealer is out there shooting guns. They're doing their little game. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to make a little money. That's their hustle. But it's like, hey, you get caught by them, you get caught by them. But don't ruffle the feathers. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, stay out of his way. But he's trying to take care of the area. And I understood his point. It may sound crazy, but I understood his point.
Yeah.
Because you got one officer out there, and you got a bunch of drug dealers out there, the officer is outnumbered, right?
I mean, yeah, I live up here in what we call the Emerald Triangle. It's a thing. We have a whole other world up here in the Emerald Triangle. And honestly, like, personally, like, I haven't had bad experiences with any cops up here. I actually have had really good ones with the place that I manage, and so they've been amazing. It's just been a history for me in the past in other places, and so, you know, that's really just my thing. You know, up here it's great. So, but I like that idea of checking in with them and seeing there's like training on getting to know them, that kind of thing that you mentioned. That'd be cool.
Right. And well, you guys, we got 15 minutes, actually 10 minutes left, and I really appreciate everybody who called in. I know that time only has a certain amount of time he could spend with us on Saturdays because he's always busy. He's probably got a show he has to do this evening, and plus he also joins other live shows on Ball Talk Radio. I'm pretty sure that Bernie B. Man Jones had to finish out his honey-do list, which he let us know earlier. So I really want to thank everyone for chiming in. But for the last 10, 15 minutes, I had mentioned this earlier, that I want you guys to share your worst customer service experience ever. Because I'm telling you something. I think I experienced my worst last night. And and I'm going to try to make this short and sweet and then let you guys chime in before we get out of here. But I have a Norton 360 suite to protect my phone, right? I paid for this. And I noticed that the icon disappeared from my phone. So I called Norton at about 11 o'clock last night. They're open 24 hours. And it's part of a LifeLink. And the lady said, well, actually, the automated unit, because you always get that first, you never get a real operator, asked me for my full name, my last four digits of my social, and my birthday. And then when it asked me for the spell my last name, I spell it. And actually, this automated thing went, is that G-A-Y-Y-A-G? I'm like, no. Please repeat. G-A-Y. Gay. Is that G-A-Y-Y-A-G? I said, no. And then it went, we'll get an operator on the line. So the lady comes on the line. She asked me the same question that the automated system asked me. She says, well, I'm not seeing your name come up. I said, ma'am, I paid for it. I know it's not, you know, I still own. She says, well, do you know how you pay for it? I said, yeah, with my Visa card. She said, can you give me the last four numbers of that card? Okay, long story short, I lost my Visa card. I had to get a new one, which you know if you get a new number and everything. I said, you know what, let me take a look. I said, because I have a couple of cards. I said, I'll just dial back and give them the number that you're asking for as the last four digits. You should be able to look it up. She said, right. I called back. Gave a different person the same information. They said, let me send it over to the IT desk. I said, the IT desk? yes, they should be able to find it. I said, okay. Send over to IT. The guy IT said, what they send you over to me for? Now I'm getting pissed. Because this is the third person that I'm talking to. I'm like, I don't know why they sent my call over to you. Here, let me give you, give me the information again. I gave it to him again. He said, okay, here's the reference number or case number. You don't have to tell them this over and over again. Just give them the case number, and they will be able to, you know, pull up. I'm putting in here what you're calling about. I said, okay, fine. So he transferred me over to this person. I said, here's the case number. He said, okay, let me take a look and everything. Can you hold, please? I said, sure. I held on. I said, and I'm hearing this music. And then you hear this recording. We're sorry. Due to high call volumes, the waiting is much longer than anticipated. Please hold, and one of our perfect experts will be able to help you. This went on and went on and went on. Finally, the lady comes back on. She says, I'm sorry, Mr. Gabe, but our systems are not acting correctly. Can you call back in about 2 hours? I said, you know what? They don't transfer me to four people. I believe that was the worst customer service I ever received. And is there such thing as customer service anymore? Anybody want to chime in on that?
I mean, personally, my whole world is customer service. Literally,
okay.
I run a club. It's a restaurant. And customer service is what I do. I've been doing it for over 20 years. So, yes,
okay.
Customer service is still a thing. I'm sorry that you had that experience, but
mm-hmm.
It's still a thing. It might not be as good as it was before. It's probably different
where you are, right? But I'm talking
yeah,
about
probably.
Corporate companies. Yeah, but I'm talking about corporate companies, big major companies.
Oh, yeah.
I called a Walmart one time. And I called them, and it was crazy because it said hit one to speak to an associate, zero. And the phone kept ringing and ringing and ringing until it got tired of ringing. It just hung up on its own. This is a Walmart store. So I tried to be sneaky. They said, for the deli, press 2. I said, yeah, maybe I can get through to the deli. They picked up the phone and hung it back up. They just went. All I heard was, click. I said, what the hell? Ron?
Yep.
Have you had that same type of, seriously, you guys, and I'm just trying to burn a little time here, but it's getting ridiculous that you call these places and no one will answer the phone.
You get nothing. All you want is a human. I'm just like, I just want a human. What button do I press for a human? I don't want to deal with automated nonsense. I just want but zero, like whatever it is, just tell me I want a human. I want to speak
right.
to a human.
Give me a human.
Like, all I ever want, I just want to speak to a human. That's all I ever want.
Right. I just want to talk to somebody. I want somebody to give me an answer. I called the Walmart. And now, you know, all these companies now have where the pickup, you know, where you can order your stuff and pull up. You ain't got to come inside the store. Maybe that'll work because they're going to definitely answer this because they might think I'm out there in the parking lot waiting. Barely signal.
Nothing.
What the hell? Now, I'm at home, but imagine if I was sitting out there in the parking lot. That defeats the damn purpose. I don't want to come inside the store.
All right.
Come on, y'all.
That's the deal with COVID.
But everybody's hiring. Somebody's getting paid for not doing their job, like answering the phone.
Very true.
Somebody's getting paid for not doing their job. Answer the phone. It's crazy. Now,
Ron, have you had a real bad customer service situation?
No, I haven't had too much of a bad one, but a funny one is my wife has. We go to a restaurant, and in a nice restaurant, and my wife gets into it with the server, and I said, babe, you know, if you get into it with the server and they go back there, they can do something to our food. She says, well, what do you want to do? I said, we got to leave now. I'm always teasing her, don't say nothing to the server. You know, see, they can put a little something tasty in your food and you don't know it. So, but for the most part, I'm kind of like the young lady there. My whole world, working as a park ranger, deals with customer service. I try to be polite, even in difficult situations. It's difficult, though, but
right.
Customer service is big time. Yeah.
Now, Danny, you don't recall a real bad experience that you've ever had?
I'll share the opposite. When I was, in my teens, I worked for a coffee shop, and there would be people that were really mean to me, and I would give them decaf coffee instead of regular.
You're that person. I knew you were the one.
Man. Don't tell nobody. Sorry. I used to do those kind of things when I was a kid, but I'm older now, and I believe in karma, and Jesus has got it, so I ain't worried about nothing no more. They got that stuff going on, but yes.
I'm glad I
used to give people decaf, never had one complaint.
I'm glad you showed the archive. Said you never had one complaint?
No, they don't know. Placebo effect. They pretend like coffee is a thing, and I was a bad girl back in the day, but anymore. Me, I just believe in karma and whatever you want to call it.
Ron,
that's not my job. Not my job to rectify injustice. So,
Ron, and this is my niece. Okay, you know what I'm saying.
not my job, but it was fun back when I was in high school.
That's funny. That's good.
Wow, that's crazy. Hey, you guys, I want to thank you all so much for joining us here on the TMGS. We have about roughly 7 more minutes, but really not that long because I definitely have to do the outro. I want to thank my co-hosts that were able to make it. Some of them were not able to because they had previous plans, so I appreciate that. And some of them had some things that came up. So I appreciate them for letting me know. So to, of course, Bernie B. Man Jones, also to Mr. Time and Ship, two of my favorite co-hosts, and also to my guest, Mr. Ron Jones, friend of mine from way back in the day, Rose City Records, Pasadena, California, Pasadena Mall.
There you go.
And, of course, he is, the ranger there in Arizona. Thank you, Ron, for chiming in. And appreciate your knowledge and sharing and everything. And also to my niece, Dana. Thank you so much for calling
Thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Now, officially, this is our last show for this month. I really thought that we were going to stop doing shows 2 months ago. When we did our one-year anniversary. And believe it or not, since we left the JT Network, we've been nonstop for a whole year. Wow. And then some. But we're going to go on hiatus for the month of October. We normally do a Halloween show, but no, we're going to come back in November because everybody has been working hard and nonstop for a whole year. And I truly appreciate Janet Davis and all the other guests and callers and everything. Of course, our special guests that we've had over the years. I thank them and love them so much. Now, we plan on doing a whole different, I won't say a whole different show, but a bigger and better TMGS come November when the holiday season really kicks in. So, again, I want to say thanks to everyone. I love you all and appreciate you supporting the TGS and hopefully we'll see you when we come back in November. Any last words you guys want to say? Anything else before we get out of here?
No. It's just good to be on here with you, Uncle, and I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, wait a minute.
Thanks
I got
for having me, and I'm gonna be sending some donations to your show.
Okay, hold on a minute. 4-4-8-7 That's okay.
It's
Bernie.
Me.
Bernie, we got 4 minutes.
I had to jump off for a moment, and I'm sorry I missed the second part of the show. I had an important phone call, but I just was chiming
no
in
problem.
And I heard the customer service thing, but it's hard to have good customer service. That's what I think the thing is. There's no more good customer service, but like your, I think whoever the young lady was, she was saying, she makes sure her customer service is good. It's very few people that do that. And Mike, you know how I feel about you, my brother. Ron, thank you for coming on. Timing, if you're still here, love you the most. It's always good. Mike, you call me for anything. When we get ready to start back up next month, I'm going to be ready and willing. So,
all right.
Great rest of the weekend.
All right. You guys take care. God bless. We'll talk to you in November. Don't forget, go to Google TMGS. All of the shows are archived. They're on demand. You can listen to many of our conversations with a lot of our great guests. And trust and believe, we're going to be right back. This is yours truly, Michael Gabe, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Love you. God bless. And we are going to get out of here. Peace.
Thanks.
Have a great week.
Peace.
Bye, everyone.
Okay. Here we go. Now, see, this is what makes me mad about Blog Talk.
The music wasn't cue.
You know, that's what's funny, that it was queued up, and all of a sudden it just changed up on me. I don't know why. The board just changed up on me. I don't know why I did that. It does that every now and then. That's crazy. Uh-oh. Yeah, I didn't even say that. Good night, everybody.